for everybody that's going through the devotional. If you haven't read it yet, I'm going to get it done right now. Amen. As we begin to read this, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, this passage of Scripture concludes the wars that David had. His enemies, the Amorites and the Philistines, continually persisted against him. Here in this passage of Scripture, Joab goes out to fight one of his mighty men. And we see and learn some things in this passage of Scripture tonight about staying in the battle. And I want us to learn from this what we can. But let's just read these verses. You can follow along as I attempt to read. Please don't be overly concerned about my pronunciation of some of these names we might come across. But I'm going to read these. We'll read just, it's only 8 verses. We'll just read them together. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. And Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. And David took the crown off their king from off his head, and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there was precious stones in it, and it was set upon David's head. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. And he brought out of the people that were in it, and cut them with saws, and with harrows, and irons, and with axes, even so dealt David with all the cities of the children of Ammon. And David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Hushite slew Sipia that was of the children of the giant, and they were subdued. And there was war again with the Philistines. And Elihan, the son of Jairus, slew the Lemi, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 26. 26 on each hand and 6 on each foot, and he also was the son of the giant. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. These were born unto the giant at Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. We have here a description of the battles that David fought, kind of a little bit of intertwined history here. This one chapter, these 8 verses, covers a significant period of time. Much of what took place here, the background and the situation around it, we're familiar with. Might not realize it until we maybe dive into it a little bit. But you see here that in the beginning verse, that he says here, and it came to pass, verse number 1, that after the year was expired, what that's talking about is basically, winter was over. It came into springtime. The time of cold was expired. In the springtime is when people would campaign, when they would have sieges, when they would go into battle. And after that cold had expired, when the time of war came, that kings go out to battle. That was typically in the spring season. That Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon. And he came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. This is dealing with and talking about the passage of Scripture that you find over in Samuel where David, it starts very similar to that. That it was a time when kings went to battle, but David tarried at Jerusalem. And what happened in that story? Sin. The sin of Bathsheba took place during that. This is that time frame. Joab went into battle. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 11. So you know the Chronicles is just a history of the people, the nation, that is covered in the Kings and in Samuel. And so if you get to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, we see this story takes place. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, he says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon." So you see the correlation here. We're talking about the same time, the same story, "and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Verse number 2, "And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." We have there the story of David and Bathsheba, where he fell into sin, where he did not do what God wanted him to do. You know, the question comes, why didn't David go into battle? It's quite possibly, the scriptures don't tell us why, but it's quite possibly because of the fact that David had gotten comfortable in the palace. You know, David was used to being in battle. David was used to living in caves. That was how he spent his youth, running around the hillside and living in a cave. And quite possibly he had gotten into the palace and had gotten comfortable and said, "You know what? I'm going to let Joab do that. I'm just going to stay here." And you know, prosperity has ruined 100 times more people than problems ever have. We get into prosperity, and it's one of the blights of our country, I think, is the prosperity that we have. And we get comfortable, and we don't stay in the battle for God. We get sidetracked. We get at ease in Zion. We get comfortable here, and we say, "You know what, I'm going to let the next generation do it. I'm going to let the kids do it. I'm going to let somebody else do it. I did my time in the sound booth. I did my time on the bus ministry. I did my time. I mean, I used to go knocking doors, and I used to go out and do that. But you know what? I can't do it anymore. Or I'm going to let somebody else do it because I don't want to give up my Saturdays now. Or I don't want to sacrifice my Sunday afternoons. Or I don't want to," whatever it might be that has got us, you know, we're comfortable. And we don't want to get really out of that comfort zone. But the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we're called into a battle. I was telling, I preached Friday night and was talking to them about finishing the course that God had set them on, preaching to the young people there, and talked about the battle of the Christian life. And who wrote that song? "Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." I thought it was the Singing Sheriff. You guys know who the Singing Sheriff is? Nobody knows. You ever heard that song before? Most haven't. Okay, well, it's a song I grew up with. I've known it my whole life, and I think it was the Singing Sheriff that was a friend of my father's, and he wrote a lot of little choruses like that. But, hey, it's a battlefield that we're in. God's called us to be in the battle, to be in the fight. And you see, he possibly got sidetracked by the prosperity. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "There is nothing more full of subtlety and danger in the life of a servant of God than he should remain inactive when the enterprise of God demands that he be out on the field of conflict." There is nothing more subtle or full of danger than the person of God to remain inactive when the call of God is to the battlefront. When he says, "Hey, there's something going on, there's something happening, you need to come and be a part of it." And boy, do we open ourselves up for the attack of the devil and to be pulled aside and to end up like the person in our story here today, David, when we remain inactive when there's a call to battle. I'm preaching tonight on the idea of staying in the battle. We need to stay in the battle. Here we see the warfare that came. If we're going to fight, we need to realize there is a war. You see, in verse number 4, they finished this battle. Joab finished the battle. He did what he was supposed to do. They conquered, they won, they defeated. But then what does it say in verse number 4? And it came to pass after this that there arose war. Okay, and then verse number 5. And there was war again with the Philistines. And verse number 6. And yet again there was war at Gath. I want you to understand their persistent enemy here is much like the persistent enemy which we face. There is continual war as a Christian. We never get to the place where we say, oh, all right, I won that. Now I'm all good. I'm ready to go. I don't have to fight anymore. I can just put down my sword. I can stop this onslaught of the devil. I can continue my own way. No. Paul challenged Timothy and he said, I charge thee, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He says, you got a war, a good warfare, Timothy. Fight a good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. We're in a battle. The Philistines, this group of the Philistines, his enemy, kept coming back. You know, this unrelenting enemy that David faced is much like the evil that we face today. The world and the flesh and the devil. It's going to keep coming back. You're not going to just get the victory and say, boy, isn't it exciting when you win? Isn't it exciting when you're fighting the battle for righteousness and you're victorious? God gives you the victory in your life and you're able to stand for Him and you win a conflict with the devil and you do what God wants you to do. You know, you get to experience that joy of victory. But you don't get to hang up your hat after that. You don't get to just quit and go home after that. You don't just get to say, oh, I won and I'm done. No, the enemy is going to keep coming on. The enemy is a giant. In verse number 4, these 5, 6, these were giants. You know, David defeated Goliath. And then all of his siblings and relatives and all the people he knew, they came out. And you know what? When you win something against the devil, he's going to send some more people after you. When you conquer the devil in an area, he's going to continue to send some after you. But you know, the exciting thing is you think about this passage of Scripture and these men that went out. These were men that David didn't go fight these giants. These were other men that went and fought these giants. And you know, when you win a victory for God, when you defeat a giant in your life, when you get victory over a besetting sin, some giant in your life, you know what it tells other people that they can get the victory too. I mean, so many times somebody that has dealt with something in their life, a particular sin, a particular battle, a particular area, and they fought with that and fought with it, and they finally got the victory, God will use them to help somebody else to know that they can have the victory as well. Amen. And that they can accomplish it. These men went out confidently and fought these giants. And I think they probably went out and they said, if David could do it, we could do it. I want to try it. Somebody's like, man, if Brother Lee can lead somebody to the Lord on a Tuesday night walking down the street, I mean, I ought to be able to lead somebody to the Lord, right? And Brother John, you were with him, right? Brother John? No, who was with you? Don. Don Wilson was with him. And so you say, man, if Brother Don can lead somebody to the Lord out on Tuesday night, I mean, I can lead somebody to the Lord. You know, Lord, would you help me do that? And you start getting a burden for it, and God will use you to do that. Winning the victory in your life promotes and pushes other people to win the victory as well. If we're going to fight, we can't get weary. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can't faint, for which cause we faint not. But through our outward, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So you know how to keep fighting? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. How to stay in the battle? Renew your mind. There's a lot of Christians that are living with a ruined mind instead of a renewed mind. This world has so filled our minds with the things of this world and the pleasures of this world that we know a whole lot more about the world and these things than we do about God. And if we want to remain faithful and stay in the battle, we've got to renew our mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to renew our mind if we want to stay in the battle. If we're going to fight in the battle, we've got to have a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. We've got to have a sword. But I want to give you some cautions, some warnings about getting out of the battle. You see, we've got here the story of David tonight, and it was a time when he was supposed to go to battle. And for whatever reason, whatever his motivation, maybe, I mean, he was the king. He could do whatever he wanted to do, right? He was in charge of his own life. And it wasn't necessarily sin for him not to go to battle. Nobody could point at him and say, David, you did wrong. You didn't go to the battle when you should have. But what he did is he opened up himself by not staying in the battle. He opened himself up for some things. You see, when we're not in the battle, we end up joining the enemy. There's no neutral ground. When you stand up for Christ, you enter the battle. And when you sit down, you surrender. We've got to continue to fight. You know, you're not going to conform to or love that which you're fighting against. If you're fighting against it, if you're trying to take a stand against it, you're not going to conform to that. You're not going to love it. You're not going to embrace it. You're not going to accept it. But David didn't stay in the battle, and he sinned against God. He wouldn't have had the opportunity had he stayed in the battle. You know, you look through the Bible and you see other people who didn't stay in the battle, like Samson. Samson had all this power and this strength, but he got to the point where he was less worried about fulfilling God's call for his life and fighting against the Philistines and as he was in entertaining himself. And he didn't stay engaged in the battle against the enemy and began satisfying himself. And he got destroyed because of it. I think of Demas. You know, he left Christ having loved this present world. You know, the dangers of not staying in the battle, of not continuing in the fight, is that you become critical of those that are fighting, those that are staying in the battle. Because it's human nature, because we feel bad for not engaging in the fight, for not helping, for not doing our part. And we get a little bit, you know, irritated about it. And there's others that are, and it makes us uncomfortable because we know we're not. And so then we try and nitpick and take apart those that are engaged in the battle. One of the saddest things is that you lose the ground that you had already won. When you don't stay in the battle and keep pushing forward as a Christian, what you do is you lose the ground you'd already won. Maybe you got saved over here. And you got saved and you got baptized and you started taking some steps for the Lord. And you realize, you know what, I need to be reading my Bible. And you begin to read your Bible on a daily basis. And I need to be spending some time in prayer. And you begin spending some time in prayer on a daily basis. And you start doing a little bit of scripture memory. And then you realize, oh, I ought to be going to church on Sunday night. And you come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night. And you're taking these steps of growth. And you're growing in your Christian life. And you're doing good. And you're taking a step here and passing out a gospel tract and being a witness. And my, the growth in your life is so evident, and you're sharing your faith with your family and with others, and you're just continuing to grow. But what happens is when we get to the point where we say, oh, I've been doing this a long time. Maybe I'm weary and well doing, whatever the motivation might be, we say, I'm just not going to stay engaged in this fight anymore. The sad thing is what happens is we start going like this. We start losing all the ground that we had gained. Before you know it, you've been saved for 20 years, but you're right here like a baby Christian who has no walk with God, who has no fellowship with Him, who never shares His faith, who doesn't mind missing church. all the ground that you had gained in your Christian life and fighting against the devil and fighting against this old flesh, you've lost that ground. And you got to start fighting it again. Maybe along this path, I didn't even get into it, but maybe along this path you gave up some rock music, gave up country music. Maybe along this path you gave up some drinking. Maybe you gave up smoking. Maybe you gave up running around and living the wild life. Along this path you gave up all that stuff. But now you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, and praise God, you never lose that. But you're here and you've lost all that ground. Oh, it's okay. I mean, you can social drink. I mean, you could drink a little here and there. It's not that bad. I mean, I don't feel bad about it, so I can do it. It's all right. I mean, I can listen to this music that I enjoy. At some point, God had convicted you in your heart and you had given that up. But now you can listen to it and the Holy Spirit's not convicting you. You've lost because you didn't stay in the battle. You've lost the ground that you've gained. This is... Is there only one person here that agrees with us? Derek? This seems awful quiet, and just maybe you're like Brother Bob said, you're just so enraptured with the message that you're just sitting in awe. I mean, it's truth. It's what happens in the Christian life. When we don't stay in the battle, when we decide we want to relax for a little while, staying in the battle is staying in your Bible. Staying in the battle is continuing in prayer. Staying in the battle is staying in church. Staying in the battle is continuing to reach out and be a witness. And staying in the battle is continuing to get things right in your heart and taking the steps of faith that God encourages you to do. And as you continue to grow, we can never grow stagnant. When we drop out of the service, we lose ground. Why? Because we're no longer in the battle. One of the dangers of not being in the battle is that the training that should be done is not done. You see, the next generation learns from us. And when we as adults don't train, when we as adults don't stay in the battle, when we as adults say, oh man, I've put in my time, it's all right, I can just sit down, I can relax, we're going to let the next generation do it. The problem is the next generation is learning from us. And they're going to decide, oh, it's okay, we can just miss church. I mean, it's fine. Whenever it's convenient for us, it's all right. We can just skip devotions. We can just listen to whatever we want to. I know what they preach, but we could just, do whatever we want to do. Why? Because that's what our leadership, that's what our mom and dad, that's what the people that we're looking to, that's what they do. That's what they're going to learn. Because, oh, we were on fire for God over here, and we were running gung-ho, and we were fighting the enemies, and we're defeating the giants, and we're seeing God do great things for us, and we love God because of it, and we've got a relationship with God because of it. But we've gotten cold, and we're sitting over here and saying, oh man, I put in my time. I'm not going to be involved in the battle anymore. The problem is the next generation coming behind us gets this kind of spirituality because those that are in front of them have given up the battle. Because we're not continuing the fight. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Because they weren't involved in the battle. I said it this morning with moms, there's a whole lot more caught than taught. That's our whole idea behind our internship program here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, is that we could sit them down and try and teach them some stuff in a classroom setting and have them write down some things and give them some principles of running a church. But we say, hey, come with me to Home Depot. and they see us hand somebody a Home Depot track, invite them to church, invite them to the pancake breakfast. They see us stop and say hello to a church member we greet there and maybe take a moment to have prayer with them. They see us in what we're doing day to day. They come over to the house afterwards and they're with us at dinner time. And not that we are the best example, but we strive to give them some things that they can take with them, because a lot more is caught than is taught. And our young people, the next generation, is going to learn how to fight in the battle, because there's some adults here that are in the battle that are doing it for God. We got to be able to be like Paul and say, I fought a good fight. Not, I'm done. I used to. I did when I was younger. When I was your age. We've got to continue. Not only those that should be trained might not be trained, but we as individuals will miss the blessings that are given to those that stay in the battle. There's great blessings that come from people striving for the Lord. One is there's joy, because there is joy in serving Jesus. I can guarantee you, I don't know what Brother Lee felt like on Tuesday. I can tell you that if it's like any other Tuesday and he's like any other man, on his way down here, the devil was telling him how tired he was. The devil was talking about how much gas it was costing just to get to the church. The devil was saying, is it really worth this time and effort and this energy? And then he went out and got to meet this young man on the street and share his faith and lead him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he goes, yes, it's worth it. Yes, it's worth it. It's worth it all. And thank you, Lord, for using me and for putting me here in this place tonight. Because he stayed in the battle. There's peace for those that are obeying the orders. You don't have any guilt. You're doing what God wants you to do, and you're not living with that guilt or that shame. You've got peace in your heart. And when trials come, and when tests come, and when burdens come, you say, Lord, I know that you're in control, and I know that I'm your child, and that there's a purpose and a reason for why I'm enduring this, and you can go through it with peace in your heart because you've been with God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's victory for those that are in the battle. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you stay in the battle, you've got Jesus on your side. You get to experience victory. One of the biggest problems with so many Christians today is they give up the battle and they're not winning any victories. And then they get very discouraged about the Christian life. And they wonder, what's all the joy about? And why is everybody so happy about this Christian life? And what does it mean? I mean, to me, it's a drudgery for them, because they've given up the fight. But when you're fighting for the Lord and you get to experience victory, man, there's joy in that. There's strength given to you. Isaiah 40, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's strength to those that are in the battle. There's safety given. You say, man, we're in a battle. It's hard, but in the battle, you've got safety. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. When you're in the battle with the Lord, you have safety and you have satisfaction. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. Whatever it costs, whatever time it takes, whatever investment there is, however early you got to get up to make pancakes, whatever you got to do to serve God, it's not in vain. What a thrill, because so much of this life is just vain. It's just vanity and vexation of soul and spirit. But what we do for Jesus Christ is not in vain. It has eternal value that will last forever. And everything we do for Jesus, we can say it might be hard. The battle might be a struggle. But I know it's not in vain. It's for God and for His glory. We can praise Him for it. I want to encourage you tonight, Christians, stay in the battle. Don't get comfortable like David did. It's not a sin to sit down. What happens is that when we sit down and we get comfortable, we open the door for the sin. Because it was a time when kings went to battle. And David said, I'm going to sit this one out. Nothing wrong with that. But where it led, stay in the battle so you don't get pulled aside. And open the door, making provision, the Scripture calls it, provision for the flesh. Stay in the battle. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stay in the battle and you won't conform to or love what you're fighting against. But when we give up the fight, it's pretty easy to start conforming to and embracing the things that as Christians we're supposed to stand against. Dear Lord, I pray You'd be with each and every heart here and help us to be yielded to You, to be motivated tonight to stay in the battle, to not get drawn aside or distracted with things that, Lord, they're not even sin, but Lord, they pull us away from what's the most important thing, and they're opening the door for the devil to win a victory in our life. Help us, Lord, to stay in the battle. We'll thank You. Be with this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.